the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us. Where to start? Actually, Marion, you know where we'll start? We'll start with the Jeffrey Epstein case. And how is it that the Deputy Attorney General of the United States would have spent 2 days in discussion with Ghislaine Maxwell, who's a convicted paedophile?
This, to me, is one of the single most astonishing things about this case at the moment, Matt. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, who, let's not forget, was Trump's criminal defence lawyer in the hush money case that involved the illegal payments to Stormy Daniels, the source of his 34 felony convictions. He was Trump's defence lawyer there. Now, it was unusual enough, for want of a better word, that he was appointed the Deputy Attorney General. But the Deputy Attorney General has a massive brief. They're in charge of all of federal law enforcement in the US. There's courts, there's all kinds of responsibilities. And the fact that, now, there's no question about Ghislaine Maxwell's guilt. Okay, she was found guilty. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison. She was found to have lied consistently by the prosecutors. She never showed a shred of remorse. And over 1,000, we do know that, over 1,000 girls and young women were abused, coerced and groomed by her. Her record is absolutely appalling. And that the Attorney General of the United States, when this is all on the record, would, as you say, hot-footed down to Tallahassee, where she's in a federal prison, and meet her at her convenience over 2 days to discuss the possibility of giving her limited immunity when her record and her guilt is beyond doubt. She was convicted by a jury. So what is all this about? I mean, clearly the only thing this is about is trying to get some way of just getting this off the front pages and getting this off the headlines so that Donald Trump can just try and put this behind him. Now, does anyone think for a second that if there's a... Look, Ghislaine Maxwell is scheduled to spend, and deservedly, I think everybody would say, the next 20 years or 17 years in prison. So basically, there are only two ways that she can get out of prison. She currently is trying to get an appeal before the Supreme Court, saying that she should never have been convicted because of the appalling 2007 deal that was done by Alex Acosta, which he was censored for by an independent report, which gave Jeffrey Epstein 13 months in prison and he was allowed work release every day. Okay. So she says that as part of that deal, she was a co-conspirator, and that she should never have been prosecuted because they were protected. So she's already admitting she's a co-conspirator. Up until now, the Department of Justice had said, we oppose this. We oppose, just because we made a deal in Florida doesn't mean that the FBI can make, or the federal government can't do a separate prosecution in New York. And that is just how it works. One jurisdiction does not control another jurisdiction. Okay. Now we can see Trump may order the Department of Justice to drop its opposition to her Supreme Court appeal, in which case her conviction will be overturned. The other way, of course, is that Donald Trump could pardon her or commute her sentence, probably going out the door in 2028. But the point I'm making here is, why would she be a credible witness? Her only route out of prison is through the White House. Why would she truthfully say anything that would make Donald Trump appear to be in a bad light or appear to have any association with Epstein whatsoever?
Cal, is it possible that Donald Trump might try and pardon her, or would that actually only make things worse with his MAGA base?
Well, first, I agree with everything that Marion said. I think she's absolutely correct in her analysis. And yes, there's always a possibility of a pardon. The Constitution, our Constitution, gives absolute power, a pardon power to the President of the United States. Bill Clinton used it to pardon some of his campaign contributors. Others have used it to pardon friends, and so that's absolute. Would it be right? Would it be the moral thing to do? Absolutely not. As Marion says, and the record shows, this woman, Ghislaine Maxwell, is a convicted pedophile. She groomed hundreds, maybe over 1,000 young women and underage girls for Epstein and his illicit behavior. So I think it would be a terrible thing. And yes, I do think it would harm his MAGA base. And I think if it's going to come about, probably Marion is right, it'll be as he's leaving the White House in 3.5 years.
And what do you think at this stage his MAGA base must make of all of the photographs and videos of Trump and Epstein together? Because presumably at this stage, no matter how siloed they are in watching only certain television or accessing certain social media channels, surely they know about it at this stage and must have an opinion on it.
Right. Well, I think they long ago made what I would call a bargain with the devil. They'll forgive Trump just about anything in his personal life and behavior as long as he's delivering on tax cuts, the border, and some other things. So I don't think it's going to hurt that much, frankly, if it hasn't hurt up till now.
So, but he seems very anxious about it, and he seems very worried about it being on the front pages and being on the network news.
Yes, well, I think anybody would be. And, you know, he's also, in my opinion, a crazily suing Rupert Murdoch and for his Wall Street Journal, publishing a story on a birthday card with a salacious illustration of a woman's private parts to Jeffrey Epstein. We know that he called him a great friend, a good man, prior to 2006, when he claimed to have cut off the relationship and wouldn't let him visit Mar-a-Lago anymore. So I just think that it's not going to make a whole lot of difference to a lot of people. It'll be incredibly embarrassing, of course, if more comes out. But I think it might pick off a small percentage of his MAGA base. But I don't think it's going to harm that much, since they've already forgiven him for, or not held him accountable for, all of his actions in the past.
Do you think might he sue South Park as well now, Cal, after the depiction of him getting into bed with Satan in the cartoon?
You know, I've never watched South Park, but these days, Matt, in America especially, the vulgar, the blasphemous are tolerated. You have the F word everywhere now being used by men and women, politicians, non-politicians. So basically anything goes in America anymore. Things that would have caused my grandmother to wash my mouth out with soap are now tolerated in virtually every area of culture.
Marion, we had a discussion about South Park on TV and streaming last night, but what's your take as to how this might actually influence the MAGA movement as well, who has been said in recent years have been a fan of South Park's attack on woke?
Well, you know, I think I saw this episode, the highly controversial episode of South Park, and I think the bit that must enrage Trump is this AI-generated picture of him sort of stumbling through the desert and he's whipping off all
careful
his
now,
as he goes.
Careful in what you say and about what people can
I
see in that.
Very careful, but all I'm saying is it doesn't do him any favours. I think he must be livid. And this is the same company, South Park Paramount, which for whom Trump just approved the $8.4 billion merger, who managed to give Trump $16 million, and then we understand some in a settlement for the most ludicrous settlement ever in journalism, in my view, and also kicked Stephen Colbert off of his nightly show. These are the same people who have now given this creators of South Park $1.5 billion for streaming rights and 50 new episodes. And the first new episode that airs straight after the deal is okay by Trump is this, which is most people, most comedians, and I include in that Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart and all of these, they pull their punches with Trump because you cannot be more vulgar. You cannot get down the gutter with Trump and emerge, you know, having muddied him more than he's muddied you. Except this South Park one is the first time I've seen anyone really go there. And I think you have people like Joe Rogan laughing about it and saying, oh my God, it's funny, but it's all crazy. I don't know if some of that bro base may be tiring. You know, like if you see guys like Rogan, because they're all about their ratings. He's a brand and a product, and he's not going to want to alienate too many people. I think they feel it's safe to have a snigger at Trump at the moment, which is interesting in itself.
Okay, I wonder, is Vladimir Putin sniggering at Donald Trump, Cal, as Trump changes the deadline for Ukraine peace deal to the next 10 or 12 days rather than the 50-day limit he had previously set?
I don't think the 50-day limit made any difference, and I don't think the 10 to 12-day deal will make any difference either. Medvedev has already said that it's not going to make any difference, and accused Trump of wanting to go to war with Russia. Look, this is a murderous, thuggery dictator. He kills journalists. He kills opponents. He puts people in prison. He is not going to be deterred by anything that Trump does, including sanctions. I mean, who is the constituency that he has to appeal to? He's not standing for re-election. He's going to stay in office unless somebody takes him out. for the rest of his life, it appears. So I don't think it's going to have much effect at all.
Yeah, but is Trump not running the risk of looking foolish if he is unable to impose sanctions or tariffs that have a real effect on Russia?
Yes, you're quite right. And Obama was made to look foolish when he did the red line in Syria, that if they acquired chemical weapons, that would be a red line and it would be a bridge too far and all of those other cliches. But then he didn't do anything after Bashar Assad used the chemical weapons. And it was the same with George W. Bush in alleged weapons of mass destruction in Iraq when they weren't found either. So I think you've got to live up to your threats, or at least make the threats credible and follow up on them, or you're made to look weak. And I think that's a real possibility in this case.
Marion, is Donald Trump the type of guy who's easily influenced by the latest person he talks to? The reason I ask that is that he seems to have undergone something of a conversion during his time in Scotland when he isn't cheating at golf, when he's listening to people like the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, where he's now suddenly acknowledging real starvation in Gaza and telling Israel that it has to let in food supplies. What's changed?
Well, you know, it's always been said by people who have worked for Trump, certainly in the first administration, people who I spoke with, that really the last person who gets his ear is the voice that you're going to hear back. That's going to be the opinion that he takes with him. I think there's a couple of things at play here. I think, first of all, if you look at what Trump did in Scotland, leaving aside the cheating, which was really, really not very well concealed at all, Trump went up to his little fiefdom in Scotland. He summoned Keir Starmer to come to him. He summoned Ursula von der Leyen to come to him. He was like this king of the world who made all these subjects come to him and bend the knee. And so he's feeling very pleased with himself, I'm sure, on that basis. So Keir Starmer came, and the Europeans, I think, have seen that, you know, this flattery of Trump, flattery and cajoling will get them further. Now, it's always a short-term game because Trump is entirely transactional. He has no moral compass that we can discern. And so anything, you know, he will change his mind again tomorrow. So at the moment, yes, it does seem that he did acknowledge, and it would be impossible not to, the catastrophe that has unfolded in Gaza, the starvation that we're all seeing, and that he has said that something needs to be done about it. I don't see how you could do otherwise, given the evidence. And I'm very inclined to agree with Cal about Putin and this, you know, he's giving him 10 or 12 days. Well, you know, we'll see. What will Trump do in 10 or 10, 12 days? My guess is nothing or very little or more empty blusters. But I think that it is significant that he has at least acknowledged the starvation in Gaza and acknowledged that something needs to be done. And I see Keir Starmer has now also joined with Macron in saying that he too, unless Israel announces a ceasefire and meets other conditions, that he too will recognise a Palestinian state.
And acknowledges a two-state solution.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Okay. And of course, following in Ireland in recognising Palestine as an independent state as well. We have run out of time. I'm going to have to leave it there. Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.